So, what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
I'm so excited. Shout out to the Inland Empire. IE, baby, it is so exciting to be with you. If you are in San Bernardino, Southern California, I was born and raised in San Bernardino County, diocese, in the mountains, the beautiful mountains there in Lake Arrowhead. So welcome to the Relevant Radio Network. You're listening to 1290 AM if you're in the Inland Empire there in Southern California. And a shout out to another one of our new networks in Pittsburgh, 106.3 FM. Relevant Radio is growing. Welcome to the family of Relevant Radio. My name's Timory. I'm happy to be with you. I'm happy to be with you in the Inland Empire as well. It is an absolute joy to be here. Coming up today on Trending, if you didn't know, I'm expecting a baby any day now. Please keep us in your prayers. But my dear friend Jim O'Day, the executive director at Integrity Restored, is going to join us in a little bit because we want some parenting advice for new parents. I know myself, perhaps that's you. Maybe you're thinking about starting a family. So he'll be sharing some sage wisdom, and I would love to hear from you as well. I posted on Instagram and Twitter asking your advice for new parents. We'll also discuss this important question, and I want you to ponder, and you can tweet me or post on Instagram. You can find me at Timory, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Do careers really exist, or are they just jobs? Do careers really exist, or are they just jobs? Do we need to stop taking the whole career thing so seriously, as if that was our only purpose and meaning in life? It's a good question, something for us to ponder, and we will unpack further in just a little bit here on Trending. I want to unpack this, though. So often we hear this narrative that kids prevent you from living, innovating, having fun. Yet at the same time, we hear the greatest regret the generation, such as the boomer generation, even many in Gen X now have said, is that they didn't have children or they had too few. In fact, the legacy generation going beyond the boomers have even said they really regret, often on their deathbed, they've said, I think even someone, Barbara Walters who came out a year or two ago? No, some really interesting famous people have talked about how they wish they had more kids. Their greatest accomplishment in all their career and the work they've done has been the children they've had. So here's a story, kind of along these same lines I've been thinking of. A story came out a couple months ago about a woman who was getting ready to take the bar exam. 21-year-old Brianna Hill. She was going to take the bar exam not long after her graduation from Loyola University, but instead she had to delay it because of COVID. It turned into an online exam in October. Well, guess what? Little did she realize how pregnant she would actually be at that time. So with new COVID restrictions in her area for taking the bar exam, she had to do it online. But here's part of the thing. When you're doing your online bar exam, you can't leave the camera. They have to see you on camera the whole time. Well, her water broke in the middle of the bar exam. That's right. Water broke in the middle of the bar exam. Geez, not even everyone's water breaks. You know, you'd think that I was trying to entertain you like in a movie because this doesn't happen to everyone. It usually isn't some huge climactic moment. So her water breaks. She can't leave the camera. She kind of starts trying to get through the section she's on. A break comes and she is able to move. She's able to make some phone calls, try and coordinate things. And she's told she's okay to keep working on her exam if she feels comfortable. She keeps working on her exam until finally she has to stop. She took a break in the middle of the bar exam to give birth. Goes into labor, and guess what? She finishes her bar exam the day after giving birth. And recent news came out that she actually passed. She passed, and she is now not only a lawyer, but also a mother. What's the reminder here? Well, you can still have goals and be a parent. doesn't mean that your goals might not have to adapt and change. For example, any goal you have, she had the goal of becoming a lawyer and she couldn't take her exam back in June. She had to wait till October. Things happen. Things are delayed. We fail exams. We have to try again. It's not just a child that can get in the way, as some might say, of the things we try to do. Then on the other side, we have to remember that we have responsibilities that go beyond just career. We have responsibilities that go beyond just our goals and our hopes and dreams. While these are all great things, they can sometimes get in the way of what we're truly called to. Those responsibilities and those gifts we have to contribute to society. There can become this confusion and we think that, well, our only contribution is the work that we do outside of the family that we've created. And so it's a reminder that we have primary responsibilities and we have to recognize and ponder daily what comes first and make sacrifices, yes, for our goals, but also to put those primary responsibilities first. One great example is our faith. So often we dive into the workday or into taking care of the errands and the things that happen day to day, and we forget to pray. Give that just honor to God. Now, often children come on the back burner and are put as that sacrificial offering on the altar of our careers. Another story that comes to mind in the same area when we talk about children first is a recent story of a cancer survivor. After having suffered a miscarriage, Ellie Whitaker actually ends up discovering that she's pregnant. She's about 16 weeks along, pregnant with another baby, this time a baby girl. And she discovers a lump in her neck. In her neck, she ends up discovering she has Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 2. Doctors tell her to abort the baby, that treatment would be extremely harmful for the baby, and she refuses the abortion. She delays her treatment for the cancer, delays chemotherapy, delays. She was considering starting chemo closer to 30 weeks. The cancer was not progressing to an extent that she felt like she was in a bad shape to continue to wait, so she waited until after she gave birth to her baby. Well, although the cancer did end up developing to stage 3, she chose to wait. She chose a heroic choice to put her child first. Now, this is difficult. This is always one of those moral questions that people battle with. What if there's some life-threatening disease and the mother has to forego treatment or receive treatment that could be harmful for the baby? There have been many heroic moms like Ellie Whitaker who have chosen to not have an abortion, who've chosen to delay various types of life-saving care. And guess what? Ellie Whitaker is now cancer-free, and doctors believe and hope that it will not come back. But one statement that came from Ellie that really stood out to me, she said, "I pushed the cancer as far from my mind as I could and focused on Connie." This is a really good reminder. So often it can be easy to become distracted by our phones, distracted by the things we have to do, distracted by work, distracted by emotional things around the election, you name it, whatever it might be. And we can allow those things to pull us away from our primary responsibilities. You don't have to be a parent for this to be a problem. It can be even a distraction when you're at work and you're supposed to be responsible for the various tasks and team you have to work with. But it's an even bigger deal when it gets in the way of children. Remember, we emphasize this within the Catholic Church, that marriage is directed toward the procreation and education of children, to having babies and raising them in the faith, forming their character. And that's your call before you even conceived a baby. When you have a baby, that baby is number one. And so I love these historic stories and heroic moments of moms who are lawyers and take their bar exam while giving birth. Easy? No. But what comes first? Of a mom who forwent cancer treatment but chose to keep her baby first and keep her baby safe. And look at the benefit. She's cancer-free. She's doing great. That baby has her mom there with her. You're listening to Trending with Timmer. We're going to discuss in just a few minutes here, do careers really exist or are they just jobs? What sort of attitude do we have about the work that we do? My guest today is the executive director of the organization Integrity Restored, which helps people who are struggling with pornography addiction or loved ones who have a pornography addiction to be brought back into this sense of healing, of peace, and of joy, and to not be pulled down by your addiction or the addiction of someone else. Jim O'Day has also had an incredible career working in various fields, which he'll share more about today when we dive into the career topic, but is also a father of a handful of children. I've asked him to join us today to discuss advice for new parents as we are waiting and waiting for our baby to arrive. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey, Timmy. Great to be with you as always. And I just want to start by saying, if your water breaks, we are finishing the segment. Okay?
You got it. Okay, great piece of parenting advice. I've thrown this up on social media for people to share on Instagram and Twitter, their advice for new parents, because there are lots of us who would like to hear. But Jim, you know, being a girl here and having a girl, I do have to tell you my favorite piece of advice I've gotten so far. One person wrote to me today and she said, change her clothes as often as you like because they grow out of them fast. And you know, I've got all these headbands. I've got all these cute outfits. I really do appreciate this because I want to make sure I get her in everything.
Take advantage of it. That is great advice. Great advice because it does go so fast. The other thing I'm going to say to you is, you will be overwhelmed with advice. Everybody wants to give you advice about having a baby. Don't be overwhelmed. Take what's good out of it, take what works for your family, and use it.
Amen. I love that. I think that's good to hear because I think it's so easy for people, especially maybe who might be a little more self-critical or feel pressure from others, to become easily overwhelmed because they're not doing X or they're not doing it the way a parent did it or someone else they admire told them to do it.
I agree. And I'll tell you the first thing. I mean, my daughter's 32. My son is 21. You're going to get it wrong. That's okay. You're not supposed to be perfect as a mom or dad. I remember when Kim and I came home with the baby, with Jessica, we both sat on the couch and we looked at each other and we said, these people are crazy. How did they send us home with this little baby? We don't know what to do. We were petrified, but you know what? It worked out. It's beautiful.
I have a friend who was just sharing with me. She said, I didn't want to go home. I was terrified to leave the hospital. I said, I'll stay as long as possible. And I've been sharing them because we've chosen to go with midwives and go to a birth center right next to the hospital. And we get to come home sooner. And they'll come and do the in-house checks on baby as long as everything is good right after the birth. And people go, oh, no, I was scared to go home. Just stay there. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. I think we just lost Jim there for a second.
I'm back.
Good. We've got you back. Okay, so what advice do you have for new parents, both moms and dads? But I guess one of the things that's standing out to me, Jim, is especially for dads, I hear so often from men how they feel so inadequate when it comes to all the responsibilities placed on them and their fatherhood, from providing and protecting to so many other elements.
Yeah, I'm going to give you first a really practical tip for the couple. Invest in an air mattress and take turns switching on and off each night who sleeps with the baby. Mm. So many new parents bring the baby into the bedroom, they're both up all night then, on and off, on and off. We, with Jimmy, with my second son, with my second child, we invested in an air mattress, and I would have one night, and Kim would have one night. And it was such a different experience. I looked forward to those nights when I was going to be with him, because the night before, I had a full night's sleep. So that's just a really practical tip that makes it a lot of fun.
All the moms listening right now are like, Dad, win. Dad, win. I think a lot of moms are appreciating it right now. That's why you want to have a good man by your side in moments like this.
Yeah, it was it was a really beautiful experience for me. And it gave my wife one night off and me one night off. I mean, when you get good sleep, you could be a much better parent. It's just a practical thing to do. Speaking to the dads, you are going to feel completely ill-equipped. You just are. Know that. Especially dads having a little girl. It's this, that my daughter, when she was born, I was just in awe of this thing we created, and I had to protect her. And I mean, you know, the day I brought her home from the hospital, in my mind right away, I'm thinking about her first boyfriend and I'm going to kill him. No, everything's going to be fine.
Is that when you took up jujitsu?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Just love your child's mom, especially your daughter's mom. Show her what it looks like for a man to really love a woman and honor and cherish and care for that woman. She'll be fine. Mm. You don't need to worry about anything else. A spiritual tip for new parents that I have that I didn't do with my first child, and I wish I did, was continue to make time every day for yourself to pray, to spend time with Jesus. So often we get wrapped up. Yeah, we get so wrapped up in the new baby that we forget that, right? And it's more important then than ever.
And I just think, you know, Jim, it's so easy to all of a sudden be like, oh, no, you know, something I was working on in terms of prayer, you know, went out the door and mm-hmm. you get distracted. I can imagine even more so when you have a child, how much more difficult that becomes, either that stop start when you try or just forgetting completely because you're taking care of another person that's totally dependent on you.
Absolutely. And it's all new, right? It's all new. I mean, I have friends of mine who have been blessed with 10 or 11 kids. And, you know, they said by the 10th one, they really had it down pat. But before then, it's always a struggle. So you have to make sure you find that time. And even if it's just 10 minutes a day where you say to your spouse, you know what, honey, you've got the baby for the next 10 minutes. I'm going in the closet and I'm closing the door and I'm just going to sit with Jesus. That's fine.
As long as you just don't come out, honey. That's all. We just need to make sure no coming out of the closet, especially after baby's born, okay?
Oh, my goodness. I am so glad we're not on video right now because I just spewed water out of my nose. Thanks, Demery.
Welcome to Catholic Radio.
Wow. One of the other things I wanted to really stress to new parents is I started this too late. And I wish I started it when both my kids were born. But every year on New Year's Eve, I write my children a letter. And I don't give them the letter. They're actually all stuck in my sock drawer under all my socks. Because one day, I'm not going to be there with them. But they're going to have all these letters. And each year I write about something that happened in the previous year. And what a great opportunity when you have that new baby home to just tell that baby how wonderful, how amazing, how astounded you were about this miracle that was brought into your life. And then at age one, age two, age three, it's a great thing to have when at some point, you know, our children are going to be without us.
I love that perspective that writing letters can bring, and all the more so, you know, I feel like you share things that are more intimate, more come from the heart in such a unique way. And what a gift for your children to receive, I'm guessing, after your passing when the time comes. But for them to continue to cherish those memories and your words for years to come.
Yeah, I think it's a really... like I said, I wish I've been doing it for about 10 years now, but I wish I started when they were born, because those moments you don't get back. And like you talked about in the beginning of the program, put every headband on her and take a picture and put every dress on her and take a picture, because they grow up so fast. I mean, my kids are both adults now, and I look at them and you miss those days. And there will be a lot of days as a new parent mm-hmm. that you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. Jim, I don't know if I can make it through.
Yeah. Do your kids know about these letters that you write for them?
My wife knows.
Your wife knows. Cat's out of the bag. Someone might tell on you. They're going to be asking for those letters for Christmas. You better be careful.
Timmy's show is always getting a scoop from me. All the time.
I love it. Okay, last tip before we have to run to this topic of career, and I think it really does relate.
It does. And I think the last tip is a really important one, too. It is going to look like every other parent has it all figured out. They've got it all together. They don't. That's just what they're putting on social media. They are as scared as you, as confused as you, as overwhelmed. Go with the flow. It's okay. You've got this amazing little baby now as part of your family. What a blessing.
Amen. And that is a piece of advice we all need in the world of social media. Carry on. Live your life. Stop comparing.
Carry on.
And hold yourself to the level of accountability you need. Know your weaknesses. Know your strengths. Know your child's needs. That's what I hear in what you're saying right now. And that's so important. And I'm excited to come back in just a moment here. We're going to talk about careers and whether they really exist or are they just jobs. And I think this really does relate to the whole parenting issue, not parenting, delaying marriage, you name it. We'll be right back with Jim O'Day from Integrity Restored here on Trending with Timmery.
Have you noticed that the seasons of Advent and Lent have something in common? Hi, this is Father Rocky with another Advent inspiration. Both are seasons of spiritual preparation for a big event. Advent prepares us for the birth of Christ on Christmas, and Lent prepares us for the death and resurrection of Christ on Easter. Just like if you run a marathon, you have to get in shape weeks before. We have to get in shape spiritually for these two momentous feast days. It's not yet time for celebration. It's time for preparation. That's why the vestments used at Mass during Advent and Lent are violet in color and not white. That's why we don't sing or recite the Gloria at Mass during Advent and Lent, and the music in the liturgy is sober and simple, and altars are not decorated with flowers. And everyone's encouraged to fast and go to confession and do some penance in preparation for Christmas.
To listen to any of Father's Advent inspirations or to sign up to receive them daily via email, visit us on our mobile app or at relevantradio.com/advent.
Underwriting by the Catholic Singles app, an online community of single men and women looking to connect with other Catholic singles who share their faith and values. The Catholic Singles app, the platform connecting single Catholics around the globe.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Shout out Inland Empire. I am from the Inland Empire, San Bernardino County, beautiful Lake Arrowhead, the mountains there. And we, that is Relevant Radio, are so happy to be with you on AM 1290 as well as Pittsburgh 106.3 FM. Welcome to the Relevant Radio family, our shows, our hosts. I'm Timmery. It's great to be with you. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm really grateful, especially to Captain Barfbag on social media, specifically Twitter, because he had this glorious social media stream that I talked about a couple weeks ago having to do with how the boomer generation told Gen X and Gen Y, wait to have kids, wait to get married. And what's happened? Well, people can't find spouses and their biological clock was ticking to the point where it's no longer ticking anymore. Now, in this stream, one of the things that was said that I thought was incredibly thought-provoking, and I want to get my guest's thoughts here, is that careers, they don't exist, that they're just jobs. Jim O'Day from Integrity Restored has had an incredible past in terms of his career and his jobs. If you could share a little bit about it, and then I would love your initial reaction to that idea that careers don't really exist and that they're just jobs.
Well, I think the first thing I'll say is work is called work for a reason. It's not called fun, right? if it's work. I have I guess you could even say reinvented myself a number of times. I've had executive roles in consumer products, defense, homeland security, and now not-for-profit work, specifically dealing with pornography addiction. So talk about, you know, a varied career path. The difference to me between a career and a job is just a couple simple things. A job is a paycheck. A career is a journey. A job is short term. A career is long term. And the final one is, in a career, you're looking to move, grow. In a job, you're looking for a new job. That seems to be, throughout my work history, what I've found. But the bottom line, to go back to our first comment, work is work. It's not called fun.
It's not called fun. Okay, I want to touch on that for a second, because many people have commented how there's a massive difference between, for example, the boomer generation and the millennials. Millennials tend to have this attitude of, we hop every couple of years from job to job, you know, an increase in pay, an increase in position, that you could even say status is much of the attitude, versus there's that legacy attitude with boomers where they stay in one place, they're loyal, they're comfortable, they build even a community, we could say, in a sense, around work, which, I mean, we could even touch on how maybe they put too much emphasis on those relationships in the work environment. But that kind of touches on the difference of job versus career, even among the difference in generations.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we as businesses, right, organizations, we have supported that, right? We don't necessarily look for keeping employees long-term anymore. Everybody kind of realizes, I mean, 3 years, 5 years, whatever the magic number is, people are going to be moving on. And that's really unfortunate, because it costs a lot more money. I can tell you, as a guy who's led many organizations, it costs a lot more money to train somebody new than to keep a current employee happy. So I think that's problematic. But I also think you're missing some stability. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a benefit to the family, in my opinion, when jobs were much more stable. When you had a job and you knew that this was your career and you were going to journey, however quickly or slowly, up the ladder in the company, but that was where you were going to be. Mm-hmm. And maybe you switched companies twice in your career, or maybe three times. There was a stability to the family that I think was important that we're missing today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about that, because it's also a stability of the person who is working. And when there's stability for that person, whether it's the father, the mother, whoever it is, or maybe, you know, you're not married, you don't have a family yet, there's a stability in the sense that if you stayed long term somewhere, there is an investment in a person, investment in the relationships, even investment in kind of job training. And it's interesting because there's been this, I think, reemergence of bosses working with their employees. Like, what are your goals? What's your personal development, your career development? And I think the reason for this is because it used to be that that was natural and organic within the work environment, but with this constant changing every couple of years, that's really been removed from the conversation of who you are in a particular company.
Oh, I would agree completely. I think that's a great analysis. And so it does make it harder for the manager, the supervisor, the executive, to get to know those people and to help support their long-term goals, because they know in the back of their mind, even if they don't say it, well, we probably have them for 2 or 3 years, and then they're going to, you know, go down the block to the next company because they got a $5,000 a year pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
It's created a much more, we talk about the gig economy. Well, your full-time job now is kind of like a gig economy, right? You're going to go to the next one if it gives you more money.
Interesting.
And I get it. But I also think that psychologically, emotionally, relationally can be really difficult on that person. Yeah, you might feel great you got a raise, but now you're somewhere new.
Mm-hmm.
Not an easy thing.
And I want to tie this because we're talking about attitude with regard to the job, the work itself. And you mentioned this gig mentality, which can kind of make us go chasing, you know, the next time I'm desirable to someone, just like we chase the next like on social media or the next popular post that we throw up. But kind of flip that a little bit and relate it to the issue of how many people are told that or kind of build this idea in their head from the culture that work is more meaningful than marriage and children. And so therefore they chase the gig, they chase the work as their vocation and career in life rather than seeing their purpose and meaning within relationships within the context of marriage and family.
So I just want to bring St. Joseph into this conversation for a minute. So if we look at St. Joseph, obviously I'm sure he was an incredibly skilled craftsman and carpenter. And we read that he was a carpenter, but in passing. What we really read about from this strong, silent man is how he took care of his family, how he responded to God's call to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things we all make a mistake of, usually early in our careers, is thinking that our careers are what's going to make us and what's going to make us happy and what's going to satisfy us. And it's not. What's going to satisfy you? What's going to make you happy? What's your lasting legacy? Is your children, your family, those you care about, you know, nieces, nephews, whoever. Those relationships, nobody's going to write on your headstone that you were employee of the year. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mentioned at the beginning of the show how Barbara Walters, I believe when she passed away, she shared that one of the greatest her regrets was that she didn't have more children. I think she just had one child. This is something we're seeing so often from boomers, from even those in Gen X who are looking back and saying, I'm single. I'm alone. Maybe I've been divorced. I didn't have any kids. It's too late. And they have this regret of lost fatherhood and motherhood. And I love how you bring St. Joseph into the conversation because one of his titles in the Litany of St. Joseph is Pillar of Families. And you mention his work as a carpenter. It is something that's mentioned in passing. It's not that this is the way he provided for his family. This is what the family did. No, he was a carpenter, and this is how he was the pillar of his family in one way, not the way.
Correct. And that's the important thing. I hate the expression work-life balance because I think it sets up a false expectation that you're going to be able to balance them. You're not. One time at this stage, work is going to take a lot of your energy and effort. Your family, something else is going to happen. There's no balance in it, right? You do the best you can. But the fact of the matter is, it's all-encompassing. It can't be just the focus on work. Mm-hmm. That's never going to satisfy you. We are so many people in this world today looking to be fulfilled, to be satisfied, but we look in the wrong places. We look to work, career, social media. Look what God put right next to you. You soon, Timory, are going to have this magic moment of looking into your baby's eyes for the first time. And you are going to know whatever else you do in life pales in comparison to that. And if you are single and you are not blessed with children, that's okay. You still are blessed with children. There are children in your community that need your help, that need your time, that need your attention.
This is one of, I think, the fruits of the church, where it talks about how all of us, married, unmarried, are called to spiritual motherhood and spiritual fatherhood. It's written into our bodies. Our bodies, you know, even if we women do not have children, our bodies are created toward the purpose of nurturing physically children, carrying children. And so that means something very deeply on an ontological level about who we are. And the same for men. It's such an important dimension. You know, I think some people who are terrified of being parents and delay getting married or having kids, when they can start to understand that their motherhood and fatherhood begins on the spiritual level, it's a part of who they are no matter what, it really does transform the attitude we have about who we are, even within the workplace, actually. And I think this is where St. Edith Stein is so valuable in her discussion. You know, right around World War II, as many women were working, having to step into that role, she talks about how the greatest value of women within the workplace is that ultimately women help men from atrophying, because they would almost become this cog in a machine and miss the human dimension in their interaction in the workplace.
Oh, and there's no question that women have an innate gift, a uniqueness that men don't have. And it's been great for the workplace that women are involved, moving up the corporate ladder. You know, the proverbial glass ceiling has been broken, and we have women executives now, and team leaders, and presidents, and CEOs, and it's been great. But the problem is, even they, if all they have is career, are probably not satisfied. I had a coach. Now, my parents were divorced when I was two, so I pretty much grew up without a dad. But I had a coach in Little League Baseball that coached me for 4 years. He was a single guy. He was never married, but he coached baseball and peewee football in Woodside, New York, where I grew up. This guy was more of a dad to me in those formative years than my own dad. And I still remember Coach fondly. He owned a bar. That's what the guy did. But he made sure to spend time with kids because it brought him joy to help us.
It transformed him. There was that sense of generosity. And even in that testimony, you know, here he is giving his time to coach and help. And I keep thinking of that phrase from the Catechism that reminds us that work isn't everything, that work was created for man, not man for work. Yet for some reason, we have that completely backward today. And I think this career versus job attitude and making our career our vocation is what's getting in the way of the basic fundamental level of a human person, that desire to be a mother and a father, that contribute to listening to Trending with Tim Ray. That was Jim O'Day here on Trending. You can find him at integrityrestored.com. Again, that's integrityrestored.com, helping people who are suffering with a pornography addiction, or if you have a loved one who's suffering with a pornography addiction. Incredible resources there to overcome and reclaim your identity without that addiction defining you. I'll be right back here on Trending, and I'll talk about death, judgment, and also what the heck is non-binary and why is everyone coming out on social media. I'll be right back. The Relevant Radio Studio Line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans are available at relevantradio.com/forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You will not define who and what I am. Listen, we're all unique. We're all unicorns, okay? We just need to get this and make sure it's really clear. There's a reason one of the most popular toys for kids today are unicorns, because the LGBTQ movement wants kids to know they're unique and you can identify as whatever you want. Now, on one side, they've got something right. We are all unique. Treasured specifically for who we are, not what we do, not what we look like, and so forth and so on. We are all unique, unrepeatable, and loved unconditionally by God. But this whole non-binary thing, I'm looking, okay, so yesterday, what's her name? What's her name was trending on social media. Oh my gosh, she's Ellen Page. There we go. Ellen Page was trending on social media because she came out as transgender yesterday. She's now Elliot Page. She wants to be exchanged for he and they, Okay, so get with it. If you didn't catch yesterday's episode, you need to go back and listen and understand this coordinated international social media effort. We're going to repost that link on social media right now for you to pick it up, because it's really important to understand what's happening to young women and how people are looking at Ellen Page, this 33-year-old girl, to tell them what it means to be a woman. Or better yet, what it means to be human in the culture. And again, you're all unicorns. So trending today on social media is now the hashtag visible non-binary. People are coming out on social media today, introducing themselves as non-binary. On this non-binary awareness day, this is who I am. Again, non-binary has to do with not being defined according to just two things. So don't tell me I'm just male or female. Don't tell me I have to choose between the two, because in fact, people are choosing between the two, even if it's not biologically correct, physically correct, anatomically possible to even do things in that way. I'm just saying, I'm reminding us all, in case we forget, it doesn't work that way, okay? Just being clear. Just like the gas pump works in a particular way and your seatbelt, okay? But here's this non-binary definition, which is essentially the same thing as genderqueer, as many people are saying. We're all unique, we're all queer, that's how we identify. So Ellen Page, yesterday coming out as transgender, she isn't just transgender, she made it very clear. I am queer. I'm queer. I am unique. Don't you get it, world? There's something special about me. Now, there are two dimensions of this I want to touch on. One is the perspective that it's really creepy to me when you look at social media and a lot of these non-binary hashtags, LGBTQ hashtags, and you see the photos and the things that are being said. It's graphic. It's pornographic. And it's creepy when it implements all these nasty cartoon and video game things, and it just shows we're not living in the real world enough. It's like we're living in a fantasy world and we're forgetting to interact with people. And quite frankly, it reminds me of this crisis that we're seeing where there has been this massive rise of school shootings. And when we look at some of these instances, some of the people who are shooting up these schools literally still think they're inside a video game. We are living in a virtual reality. And it's leading people to say, well, what am I? Am I even real? What am I created for? What's my purpose in life? And so all of a sudden they're saying, well, look at who's saying I'm unique. It's the LGBTQ movement that is saying, you do you. You are special. We will support you in absolutely any way that you want to identify. And we will love you. And they'll love you as far as you go down the path of their agenda. And they dump you when you say something they disagree with. They've dumped Bruce Jenner, in fact. I mean, no one wants to talk about Bruce Jenner now. Ellen Page, they've renamed her as Elliot Page. She's the new Billboard poster girl for them. But the other perspective, not just the pornographic, the virtual world of this non-binary hashtag, the other perspective is this. We are unique. We are unrepeatable. We are loved unconditionally by God. And when you take God out of the equation, we look in every other direction for what will define us, for who will define us. We're looking for a creator because we've gotten rid of the creator. And so we make ourselves the creator. That's why relativism is so prominent. We suddenly begin to say, well, this is what I identify as true, and this is what I identify myself as. And so that's why the unicorn is one of the most popular kids' toys now. It's an agenda to say you are special and you need to know that and you can be whatever you want. But from a Catholic, a Christian perspective, we need to tell the same story, and it doesn't take a unicorn with a horn to tell you that. And in fact, when everyone has to become a unicorn, everyone has to become queer. What's interesting? We actually all just become the same. We all become neutered. We all begin to look the same. And there's something that's very problematic about that. when we start to believe that there really is nothing that different about us because we've tried so hard to be unique to the point where we've just fit in and now there's nothing left. We've lost our humanity. This is why we see the LGBTQ community after they make this transition, they come out of the closet, you name it, they're not happier. Their suicide, depression, and anxiety rates are even higher. And it doesn't have to do with a lack of cultural acceptance because the culture is very tolerant. In fact, although there are people who dismay me at times in their reaction to others, most of the culture is scared to speak out and disagree with anything LGBTQ. And I've grown up my entire life with loved ones who have identified as gay. And we have loved them and we have had relations with them my entire life. And if anyone felt rejected, it was because they perhaps didn't like a social media post having to do with what is and is not true about male and female. But they can never say the way they were treated or interacted with our family devalued them. But the movement of LGBTQ itself is degrading. It is one which says there's nothing special about you, and it basically just crosses you out as just another number. Just another statistic. Just another person being counted in the census. Just another person in the crowd. This is why people are coming out, because they want to be more than that, but then they find when they come out, they're not really anything more after all. So that's why the sorrow remains. So we are at a point in history, you and I. We are at a precipice. People are standing on that precipice, and they're looking out into this beautiful world saying, tell me who I am and what I am. And you and I need to respond to that question. We have to have those difficult conversations, or better yet, the beautiful conversations about life, beauty, the purpose in each and every life. Over the course of the next week, I'm going to be going through the four last things. And I love to talk about this during the Advent season. As you know, it's my favorite liturgical season. The four last things have to do with death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And today I want to speak with you for just a moment about death, because I think it's something we don't ponder enough. And if we were to ponder death a little more often, it might lead us to take more seriously the truth and reality about who we are as a human person and what we are created for, where we are meant to be going. It really does transform how we look and interact with our day-to-day needs and goals. There's a line from St. Alphonsus Liguori in his book, Preparation for Death, 10 out of 10 recommend. I'm going to be posting tonight on social media some of my favorite things to read during Advent. And Preparation for Death is up there, number one, if you have not read it. And he says this about death. My brother, if you wish to live well, endeavor to live during the remainder of your life in the presence of death. Now, in his discourse, he talks about how often there's a tradition in the church where we used to have skulls that people would keep, specifically saints, on their desk as a reminder of their mortality. Because death is certain. It's not avoidable. All sorts of television shows and movies might talk about the undead, the resurrected superheroes who never die, but that's not reality. Might sound nice and feel nice, but that's not the case. In fact, in his book, he talks about how the skull is looking at him, and at one point it says, what you are, I once was, and what I am, you will become. That is, the skull's looking at the person and saying, what you are, I once was. Yeah, I had all these things, but what I am, you will become. Nothing, just a heap of bones. So from a physical, because if we think about death, so often we think about, you know, in life, all these achievements, all these things we take with us, but we go to the grave with nothing. We go to the grave with nothing. You know, we look forward to the resurrection of our body, but we look forward to being united with God in heaven for an even greater life. We are just traveling here on earth. Now, St. Alphonsus Liguori and many others talk a lot about death, but one of my favorite things when talking about death is how when we die, the one thing we do take with us, it's not all our possessions, it's our sin. It's our sin, our vice that we've struggled with. St. Teresa of Avila actually talks about the importance of working on one predominant vice at a time in our life, because this is how we will root it out from our lives, eradicate sin from our lives, because we don't want that one thing to be what we take with us to death. Because in fact, at our death, the demons, just prior to death, use that vice against us. The demons come to claim their property when we have sinned, especially in a state of mortal sin. Don't let the demons be present and tempt us and accuse us of those great vices. Work now, as St. Teresa of Avila says, on one predominant vice at a time. Eradicate it from your life. Understand what the opposite virtue is of this vice that you are struggling with. Pray for that grace. Pray for that virtue. And use Advent now to ponder your death and to ponder those things that we need to root out of our life so that we can attach ourselves to Christ this Advent.